Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for giving us understanding of things that have been said quite a while ago. Things that are coming to pass as we speak. And thank you so much, Father. Amen. Okay, I'm going to share with you about God's great plan. Many prophetic words are not understood in the day that they are given. And just as the scriptures show clearly, they come ahead so that warnings are taken and spiritual warfare is done. And also, many more people can partake of them in this way. If they came to pass immediately, nobody would find out, you know. So we're going to start off with this. It's called Now is the Time of My Great Plan. Glenda Lomax, 2012. Now is the time of my great plan for the people of the earth. For thousands of years I have planned the victory of my people in great detail. Now it is time for my people to rise up and walk as I have called you to walk. Talk as I have called you to talk, for I have much to accomplish through you, my people. Cast your burdens to me and walk forth as I have called you to do. Those I have called to ministry will now be positioned to move forward as never before. A great and glorious destiny awaits you, my people, such as you cannot imagine. Great shall be the reward of all of my people who serve me in this time. Yes, there shall be many trials and much tribulation also, but my glory through my people will outshine the darkness in the final days. Look up, my people, your redemption draws near. And Glenda gave these verses along with that prophecy, Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Revelation 22 and 12, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. Deuteronomy 4, 29 through 31. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. And if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, there it is, the timing, right? Even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice. And verse 31, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Isaiah 60 and 1, arise and shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Luke 21 and 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. And here's another one that she gave in 2012. We called it Strategic Couplings. My children, the heat is being turned up in your lives and in your world. I will soon begin to place my devoted ones into positions for battle, as I have called them to stand. Some of you I will place in pairs, strategic couplings for the battles ahead. We know about that, don't we? I have chosen mates for you that complement your weaknesses. They will be your rear guards on the earth as you march forth into all I have called you to do. Many of you I will pair with unlikely counterparts, of which the world around you will not approve nor understand. Those near you cannot always see my mighty hand in all I am doing in your lives. Be careful, my children, of judging with your eyes or your ears or your heart. Judge only by my spirit, for you walk in danger of calling my plans evil when you do this, and I do not consider lightly those who call my good evil, just as those who call evil good. Refrain your lips from speaking evil, and seek me only. Judge not what does not concern your own lives, for you shall see much around you in these end times, and you will not understand. The times approaching are perilous indeed, and I have a plan for each of your lives. You will not always understand what I am doing or the many ways I shall bless you through it. Many plans of the evil one are being hatched behind the scenes, the horrors of which many are unaware. My children who have been watching and praying for my son's soon return shall not be caught unawares. And, of course, many don't know how the Lord is coming and returning. Like Hosea 6, he's coming as the latter rain, he says. Rest now while you can, my children, for a fierce battle looms on the horizon of your lives, and you will soon be at, it will soon be at your doors. And of course, we know at the end the Lord is coming to return for his saints and so on. But the soon return is not that. It will come as the latter rain, as the Lord has said. And then Glinda gives these verses, Isaiah 58, 8 through 10. And your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, like the factious do to try to separate the people of God, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. And Isaiah 55 and 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 5, 20 and 21, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." 2 Timothy 3 and 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Matthew 7, 1 through 5, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Romans 14:12-13 says, So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Okay, we call this one The Master's Plan is Given, GW 2010. Part 1. I went to pray on Saturday for full reconciliation for someone who was falling away. I could not pray. As I tried, my prayer returned to me. The word came to me. I'm moving him out of the way to make room for another from the West. Part 2. I had a dream Sunday night, and it took place in the future. David had just received this email from me, which I wrote above as part 1. David responded to the email by handing me a master plan. All right, note, the email was sent to me on a Monday, 11/22/10, and I responded by sharing this interpretation of the parable of the master plan. And this is the David's man-child's mission to receive and give revelation from the throne of God's plan on earth. Moses went up the mount to receive this and came down with his face glowing. Jesus also received this master plan and gave it to the disciples. Okay, G.W. went on, I knew this master plan was the work that needed to be done by the people in the ministry. The master plan appeared to me in a hologram in the shape of a square. And as I looked at the square before me, I knew it to be the uncomely parts of the body. My note, there are many, many uncomely parts now, but they will change through the word from heaven. Remember, this started with the falling away in part 1, and now we see a raising up in part 2. Luke 2:34 says, Behold, this child is set for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which is spoken against. And this is the master plan. G.W. went on, The hologram began to change, like a slot machine changes its images as it goes around. Different numbers began flashing, and in my mind I knew them to be the different workings in the ministry. My note, the falling of the old order and the raising up of the new fivefold ministers, the deacons or ministries, and the gifts in the ministry. G.W. went on, he said, I also realized that the positions were growing into greater honor in the body, and they started to become chess pieces. Chess pieces. My note, those who are growing in the image of Christ are identified, right? And G.W. went on, he said, I was waiting for the hologram flashes to go up to the highest honors in God. But as I was watching it go up, it came to the rook piece in the chess, right? And I was taken out of the dream. That was the last thing I recall from this dream. My note, the revelation didn't go up to the king, who is normally the highest honor, because in this dream, the king gives the highest honors to those in God, as the dream says. The game is centered around the king, and he is never taken. The highest honor didn't go as high as the queen, because the man-child is the head of the queen on earth, just as David was the head of Jerusalem, which is the bride, according to Revelation 21, 9, and 10. The rook is the second most powerful piece on the chessboard and has the highest honor. The revelation went to and represents the man-child. And G.W. gave this excerpt from Chess Rules for Movement of the Rook. The rook, shaped like a castle, is one of the more powerful pieces on the board, he said. In my note, the rook is represented by the lookout portion of a castle, where the watchman would stand and fight to protect the castle. A man-child has power to defend the castle of Zion. G.W. said the rooks grouped with the queen are often thought of as major pieces. In my note, a man-child can be seen with the queen and has a major advantage against a foe. G.W. said, rooks are worth a bishop or a knight plus two pawns. My note, man-childs are greater than bishops or overseers and knights or warriors. G.W. went on, the rook can move any number of squares in a straight line across any column or row. My note, man-childs only move on a straight path that is not impeded. G.W., they cannot move diagonally. And my note, never a crooked path. G.W., the rook can move or capture only on this straight line. And my note, one can only take leadership by walking on the straight path. G.W., the simplicity of the rook's movement is indeed what makes it powerful. In my note, man-childs, like Jesus, have a simple life and walk with power. And G.W., it can cover a significant area of the board, and there are no areas which an opponent's piece, moving one square at a time, can slip through. My note, man-childs can move supernaturally to far places. The enemy cannot deceive them or outmaneuver them. And G.W. said the rook, may also make a move in conjunction with the king. And my note, like Jesus said, I do always those things that I see of my Father. Amen, amen. Good revelation. So, we call this one, The Bride Prepares for the Man-Child. Deborah Horton, 2010. As David has said, something wonderful is going to happen. And of course, we're looking forward to it. And in a dream, I was inside a large building on the bottom floor with people everywhere. They were all waiting for a Jewish man. And while they were waiting, they were very busy all through the building. I have no idea what they were busy with. I can't remember. The coming Jewish man is Jesus, I'm sure, who will inhabit the man-child as Christ in you, the hope of glory. The building is the house of God, his people, which is being prepared for his coming habitation. And I was just saying to several brethren that I hope we can prepare it ahead of time. Yep. And then as I looked around, I saw the Jewish man come in, along with a young woman slash girl who was his assistant somehow. I think she was setting up some audio equipment, speakers, etc. Well, the bride is making ready for the man-child to reach many people. And this is so. I've been seeing it. And even though I saw him, no one else seemed to be able to do so. Well, he's coming in the heart of the true house of God. Okay. In other words, he wasn't visible to the world, but he would be manifested through the true house of God. It wasn't that he was invisible. They couldn't look at him and see him, but at the same time, they didn't see him. This is hard to explain and doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And they kept on with whatever it was that they were doing. Well, we can see the body that he will inhabit, but many don't recognize him to the extent that he is in it now. We receive one another as we receive Christ, right? Christ has a portion in every member. The next thing I can remember is that I walked over to him and he asked me to sing with him. But I told him that I couldn't because I didn't know the language or speak Hebrew. I can't remember exactly how I worded it. Well, my thought is singing with him means to be in harmony with him. Because when you sing together, that's what you do. You harmonize together. I think he was a little disappointed by that. In other words, that she couldn't sing with him. And it reminds me of Miriam's song about Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea into the wilderness tribulation and the destruction of the old man, or as you say, the song only the 144 first fruits could sing. Right? The victory song, right? She went on, this assistant was still working on getting everything set up. As I looked at him, I absolutely had to give him a great big hug, which I did. I squeezed him like there was no tomorrow. Poor guy. And then I let go, although I didn't want to let go of him. Well, of course not. If you got Jesus, hold on tight, right? He was completely ordinary looking because he comes in many packages, as you know today. You know, he that receiveth you receiveth me. About 2 inches taller than me. I think he was wearing a work shirt and jeans. Very informal. That's because those packages that he comes in are just like that, just normal folks, right? He was so ordinary that there was nothing you could say about him to describe him. Well, my thought was, as Isaiah 53 says, the first individual body Jesus came in was unremarkable. So the corporate first fruits body will be just plain folks, right? He had dark hair. I can't remember if he had a beard, but I don't think he did. He reminded me of a teddy bear, and there was no way I could ever be afraid of him. He wasn't skinny or fat, just had a tiny bit of extra weight on his belly, so you could tell that he wasn't a very physical person. He radiated such confidence and such peace and such love. Well, the anointing of the latter rain is coming to manifest the attributes of Jesus in his first fruits body, like Hosea 6, 1 through 3 says, and also says that he comes at the latter rain, as the latter rain. The last scene I remember is that somehow pigeons were all around us and they kept landing on him. They didn't want to get off. He was petting them and let me pet them too. And then he'd put them down where they would walk about and coo. There were three specific pigeons with beautiful markings, as gorgeous as any pigeons I have ever going to get without being a specialty breed show pigeon. He handed me one that had some dark black markings on it, on its back, and it felt like velour. It was so soft. Well, my thought was maybe these are the overcomers, 30, 60, and 100-fold. According to Romans 8, the whole creation is awaiting the manifestation of the sonship, or Christ in you, because it too will be delivered. Amen. The creation will be delivered because of the sons of God, right? Okay, this one we call the white horse prepared for the rider. Linda Gray, 2016. I had this dream where I was inside my home when I noticed an unusual white cloud formation through one of my windows. To get a better look at the cloud formation, I went outside. It was a clear blue sky with no clouds everywhere, but this particular large formation in front of my house. So nothing else, of course, will be more significant concerning changes in the world for God's people. She went on, within the formation of clouds, I saw a white horse. I believe the bride who lives above this evil world in heavenly places, like clouds do, by abiding in Christ is identified here. Ephesians 2 and 4. But God, being rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by grace. Have you been saved? And raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You want to know where heavenly places are? They're in Christ Jesus. Abide there and you will be in heavenly places. Verse 7 goes on, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So the bride has a cloud, as a cloud will water the earth with the word of God. The rest of the church has not arrived at this place and not chosen to be in the bride. There was no rider on the horse that I could see as the clouds kept going around the horse, making it difficult to get a clearer view. Psalm 48 and 2, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Well, the white horse is the bride or Zion, as John was told in Revelation. And all of the horses in the seals of Revelation 6 are white, representing holiness conquering the beast. Red was for war, and black was for famine and economic collapse, and pale was death and Hades. The horses represent the flesh of men who serve the spirit and leadership that rides them and rules over them. You remember the different leadership, the different spirits that rode these horses, right? So this is a, the meaning of this, of course, is that the flesh of the beast is being used by these spirits to bring about all these judgments. And all these horses are people who bring these judgments to the world. And when they are empowered, they will have riders upon them. The first rider is the Lord in his first fruits man-child body, who will ride or rule the bride, white horse, and through them, the church. As you know, Jerusalem was the head of the Old Testament church as a type and a shadow, and so it will be now. At the time of this dream, this first rider is not anointed or set on the horse. And when Jesus was anointed to lead the first of the disciples to recognize him, John said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom," meaning Jesus and his first fruits disciples, right? But that rider is coming according to this next verse that Linda received, Revelation 1 and 7. "Behold, he cometh with the clouds." Notice the white horse, right? "And every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him. Even so, amen." This verse has a more literal interpretation at the end of the tribulation, but it accurately describes in the spirit what will happen when the white horse rider, Jesus in the man-child body, leads the other horse judgments in the earth, which is exactly what Moses the man-child did. Yeah, he brought the judgments, right? He brought the other judgments. He cometh with the clouds, quote unquote. The gematria for clouds here in this verse, that he cometh with the clouds, is 144 times 10. 144 is the number of the man-child, and 10 is the number of the word or law. Right, the Ten Commandments, you see, he obeys and teaches. So the man-child both obeys and teaches the law, the word, okay? And, quote, "were purchased from among men to be first fruits," unquote, is verse 14 and 4. Chapter 14 and verse 4. Interesting. "These were purchased from a man to be the first fruits." 144. And notice the verse number, 144. Revelation 14 and 1. "And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. These are they that were not defiled with women." And these women, through the scriptures, represent sects or denominations of God's people. "For they are virgins." They were not defiled with the women because they were virgins. In other words, not having received the seed or the word of man. Right? They were virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. Both Jesus and Jesus in the man-child as a repeat of history fit this. Psalm 118 and 22. The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. Just as Jesus was rejected, the man-child is rejected by many. Circling the outer perimeter of the cloud formation was a large plane which apparently had seen this formation. In other words, surveillance, right? And was trying to get a better view. Well, if you remember, Haman attempted to bring down the bride before Mordecai came to leadership. And Mordecai means little man, representing the man-child, right? In other words, before the man-child was anointed to rule in the book of Esther, the white horse rider is typed by Mordecai, Moses, Joseph, David, Jesus, and many more. This was a judgment on Egypt as a type of the world. Each of these men and many like them led the bride and through them the church to freedom and power. Each of these also brought judgment upon the beast body as a type of the world beast body of 7 heads and 10 horns. So now you see the horses and their riders doing their work, right? I was very excited and wanted a photo of the beautiful white horse. So I went inside my house to retrieve my cell phone. And when I came back outside, the airspace was filled with warplanes, covering the entire field of vision, flying in a grid formation, heading from south to north. It looked like a tic-tac-toe type grid with the planes in perfect formation. Reminded me of Revelation 12, 7 on down. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth. And his angels were cast down with him. Verse 10, And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him, meaning the saints overcame the devil and his angels, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. So you can see clearly that although the angels were carrying out the physical warfare, it was the saints behind them and their testimony that empowered the angels of God to go against the enemy. So, and the dragon, or Satan, was cast down to rule over his world body of 7 heads and 10 horns, which is beaten by who, quote, came with the clouds, unquote. The man-child, and the saints in whom the Lord lives. So Jesus and the man-child reformers will conquer the world beast. Daniel 7, 13 on goes to say, I saw in the night visions, and behold, there came with the clouds of heaven, There it is. One like unto a son of man. And he came even to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, it says. And verse 22 says, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Yep, the saints will conquer the beast. The dream then ended. And whatever was in the clouds, the powers that be didn't like. And they were ready to wage war against it. Yes, and of course the powers that be are the head of the dragon body on earth. And they are Satanists, whom we are casting down by our faith. And the angels are carrying it out in the heavens. This preparation for the bride to receive her head fits well with this next dream of the wedding feast. ML got this on 2016 Wedding and Temple Cakes. I woke up from a dream and was taken back by it, but in a good way. I was in a huge room with many very sturdy tables. They were all square with white tablecloths. Each table had an extremely large wedding cake on it. I would say time for the wedding feast to begin, which, by the way, was 7 days, right? The tribulation is 7 days before the bride is escorted by the virgins to the groom's home in heaven. As we know, the parable of the wedding, it fits with everything prophetic, right? So these cakes seem to be about 4 feet tall and many inches around, coming to about 2 inches to the edge of the table. So they were very large, right? All the way around. And they were multi-tiered and in various designs and were all decorated white on white. Nothing stood out that would distract the eyes from one cake to another. Flowers in white in all sizes, small pillars of white, miniature fountains, white ribbon, white doves. Looking at all of this, it was magnificent, all made according to their Creator's desire. And after taking all this in, I looked to the right and saw the most magnificent of all cakes, a replica of the temple. Well, you know, the temple of God's presence is in Jerusalem, which is the bride, who is born from above, right? In other words, she is filled with the fruit of Jesus. It resembled a light gray marble stone and was very smooth without a flaw in the icing. It stood about 5 feet high. I believe it represents grace. With the outside perimeter a square. And it was all cake. It was displayed on a very sturdy table with a white tablecloth draped to the floor. It had ornate gold trim work on top of the roof line, and it reminded me of the points on a king's crown. Well, the bride is a crown in Isaiah 62:1 on down. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as a lamp. as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burneth. And the nations shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. So the bride is a crown, right? And at the base of these points was a wide piece that looked like crown molding. The color of the building itself, in the same width of the molding above, was a decorative gold ornate area going around the top. And on the top front corners were pillars, and a pillar on each side of the door. On top of each pillar were gold embellishments. And then I woke up. The wedding cakes are made ready, she says, I believe for the marriage feast. I didn't see any tables that were set yet. The bride has made herself ready. She is in fine linen, pure and white. Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. These are the righteous acts of the saints. I'll start with these righteous acts here. Obedience. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. And 4:17, to him, therefore, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And the next act of the saints, I believe, is faith. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. And then fruit. Matthew 7:20, therefore by their fruits you shall know them. And then love. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. The temple cake. The temple is where God dwells. We are also God's temple, for he dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are a temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man destroyeth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Verse 17, for the temple of God is holy, and such are ye. And verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he that taketh the wise in their craftiness. Amen. And this one was given to Sandy Shaw in 2016. It's not what they thought. In a dream, I landed on my feet in a big city, and we took it to be Babylon, the U.S. For I was translated there. Immediately, I felt the earth quake, and I could tell by the surroundings that there had been others, in other words, other earthquakes. I believe the time is the great earthquakes, just before the tribulation. Some will help others through translation, as happened to me before. I can see a road buckled, she said, and the top half of a skyscraper had fallen to the ground. People were running and screaming, and I saw two little girls to my right. The five-year-old, five is Grace, had long, blonde, curly hair. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about the hair being a covering and representing submission to the Son, S-O-N. Okay? And like her hair was sun-colored, you know, so on and so forth. And deep dimples, and wore a blue dress. So dressed up with heavenly works, because your clothing represents your works, right? And the other little girl was black, representing walking more in darkness, and 7 years old. She wore a red dress and had dark pigtails with red ribbons, the color of the red dragon body, but not necessarily going to stay there, right? A lot of people come into the kingdom as part of the dragon, but they don't stay that way. And I walked to them and asked them where their fathers were. Fathers represent heads of churches, in this case. They didn't know. The black-haired girl said that they were there for daily vacation Bible school. And I asked, "Where are your mothers?" The 7-year-old black girl said, "She died a few months ago," quote unquote. Well, the apostate church mother is dead. And the 5-year-old very excitedly said, "Oh, my mom has already been with Jesus." So her mother is the early church because she abides in Christ, right? 1 John 2 and 24 says, "As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning." And of course, we're entitled to read the original word of God and believe it, not what the churches teach, right? "If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father." So get your Bible out, folks. Don't believe everything you hear. 25, "And this is the promise which he promised us, even the life eternal." The ground started to shake some more, and I knew that they were not safe. Well, at the time of the great earthquakes, many will be helped to escape by the righteous. She went on, "So I grabbed the two little girls' wrists and started to fly over the city. Although I have only done this instantaneously, meaning transported or translated, I've done that by the grace of God, I believe that translation can happen slowly, like flying. It is in the spirit, though, and unseen by the world. It is without wings or propulsion, so it is not literally flying. Flying also represents overcoming the world and its law of sin and death, represented by gravity, to ascend into heavenly places in Christ by abiding in Jesus, who is the Word. And Ephesians 2 and 4 says, "But God, being rich in his mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. And raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And the woman in the wilderness tribulation was given the overcoming wings of the eagle by the man-child to escape the dragon, serpent, and his works. Revelation 12 and 14. And there were given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place. Wilderness is the tribulation, of course, as Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 say, unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time by the man-child body. I'm saying that's and from the face of the serpent. The seven-year-old said, "I don't understand." And then she asked, "What is this? The tribulation?" Question mark. We landed on a, in other words, they weren't believing that they were to go into the tribulation, right? Which is most. We landed on a suspension bridge stretched out over the water. All of a sudden, the bridge became a slide, falling into the water. Many bridges will fall with these great earthquakes that are coming. And before we got to the bottom of the slide, we started to fly again. I believe this represents the way of escape is cut off, as in Jeremiah 25 and 35. And the shepherds shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. But we know the righteous always have a way of escape, even if by flight. You know, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." So we flew over the city and into the country, where there was a huge red barn, and we landed. Cars were coming up on both sides of the barn. People were coming up to it because they knew it was a refuge and a safe place, and all the people around were in a state of confusion. These people were Christians and yet very confused. The seven-year-old said, "Hey, that looks like my church barn," unquote, and she let go of my hand and started running. Many of the church are confused by their doctrines, but if they have walked with the Lord and in a righteous life, they will escape. Even those who are chosen to come to understanding and holiness later will escape, like the seven-year-old who walked in darkness. And of course, like the tribulation, many saints went into the tribulation of Jesus' day, and they got understanding there, you know. So the blonde girl said, "There's my daddy." He was sitting down on a folding chair inside the barn, elbows on his knees and head in his hands, and he said, "I don't understand. I don't understand." I would say, "Why are you still here? And it looks like the tribulation started," right? That's what I think. The five-year-old shook his arm and said, "Daddy, I'm here, I'm here." And he mumbled, "Yeah, yeah." She said, "No, Daddy, she brought me here," pointing to me. You know, there's a lot of people going to come to the truth in the tribulation period because of the bride, you know. We flew. We were flying. And that means overcoming the world, right? And we were on a big slide I would say, towards death. The dad reached out and touched my hand and said, thank you for bringing her here. And then he said in a daze, Lord, I thought my heart was right with you. I said, if you were waiting for the rapture, it's not going to happen now or in the way that you think. Well, at the time of the great quakes, tsunamis and volcanic activity, economic collapse, chaos, many will see that they have not escaped tribulation and will repent of this deception. I heard the 7-year-old say, Daddy, Daddy, and he hugged her. She asked, this is tribulation? She waited for him to respond and said, Jesus didn't come yet. He fell to his knees crying and asking the Lord, I thought I was right in right standing with you. I thought my heart was right with you. I have been preaching for 35 years. And I grabbed his hand and said, this isn't the rapture you're waiting for. That's not happening. I said, you come with me. And we walked over to the other preacher who was sitting down. Well, let me say the great earthquakes are at the beginning of the tribulation, as in Revelation 8 and 5, the angel taketh the censer, and he filled it with the fire from the altar, and he cast it upon the earth. Meteors striking the earth seem to be symbolized there. And there followed thunders and voices and lightnings and earthquake. And notice that this came just before the first trumpet of the tribulation. Some people think they run parallel with the seals, okay? And the 7 angels that had 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So I took the 2 little girls to stay in the barn. Then I took them to the corner of the barn, and I reached to the floor and pulled open the door to a root cellar and grabbed 2 bottles of water, and there was food there also. In other words, there was provision in this wilderness refuge, right? And then I took the preacher's hands, and we went up and through the roof of the barn, meaning not physical flight, right? And we flew to Tennessee, and David and Michael were standing outside, and they saw that we had landed. The preachers were confused about what had just happened. And then I said, now these 2 men can answer any questions you have about the rapture or anything else you think you're going through. And Michael asked, Sandy, where have you been and where were you? And I said, I don't know. I was translated. And Michael said, I should have known that. And then I went back and got the girls and brought them to Tennessee. And then I woke up. Well, she went on to say, by faith at random, I received a 49, Isaiah 49 and 1 on down. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye peoples. From far the Lord hath called me, from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. And he hath made me a polished shaft in his quiver, hath he kept me close. And he said unto me, thou art my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and vanity, representing the preachers who You know, we're missing God and about to find out, right? Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God. The rest of this chapter tells the magnificent story of his people being used to restore those of God's people who have been in captivity to the nations. And it's very interesting. You can read it if you like. So thank you so much, Lord, for these revelations. They're very neat. I'm sure people can read them again and probably see more than what we've seen so far. And thank you so much, Father, for the wonderful things you have planned for your people. Amen.